It's my privilege this morning to welcome each one of you to the house of the Lord. We have this opportunity once a month, the first Sunday of each month, to come and to sit before this sacred table. And when it's uncovered, you'll see what it says in the front, do this in remembrance of me. And we come this morning to partake of those holy emblems, not to renew the covenant that we made in baptism, but to remember that covenant that we made. We thank you for taking the opportunity to come this morning. It's a beautifully cool late summer, early fall morning. It's nice to be out. The Lord has really given us a beautiful time. I'd like to read to you our weekly theme, which you'll find on the back of your bulletin. It says, from 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter, the 44th and 5th verse. And he said unto them, he that eateth this bread eateth of my body to his soul, and he that drinketh this wine drinketh of my blood to his soul. And his soul shall never hunger nor thirst, but shall be filled. Now when the multitude had all eaten and drunk, behold, they were filled with the Spirit, and they did cry out with one voice and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. We'll continue our worship this morning using as our opening hymn number 22.
God, our King, the Almighty One, we come to you, Lord, thankful for the gift of this day, and we come to you in the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that this service would be dedicated to you, that we come in remembrance of the promise that we made in the waters of baptism, that we always remember you, that we serve you with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. And we pray your Spirit might lead this service, that you might be with our brother Mike as he brings those words that you placed upon his heart, that he might be quickened in thy spirit, and that each might be edified as we look up unto you, the Almighty One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we might set our will aside, and that we might find your will for our life, that we might have peace therein. Be with us now in this service, O Lord, that all is done to bring you honor and the glory for the building of your kingdom here in this land. We pray it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
From the fifth chapter in Ether, we read these verses. And again I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world even unto laying down of thy life for the world, and thou mightest take it up again to prepare a place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit a place, that place, which has been prepared in the mansions of thy Father. We know that this, of course, is a very important part of our Christian faith, charity and love of our fellow men. And so many people struggle these days with having less than need. And we, of course, I think, have been abundantly blessed. And so often we realize that we don't always reach out to those who really do need our help. But this is an opportunity now. If we consider what we are able to provide or to do for those in need, I'm sure the Lord would bless us abundantly as well. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, again we pause before you and consider the needs of those who are less fortunate. Father, you have blessed us in many ways, even without us even knowing and asking. And now we have this opportunity to share a portion of that which you have given to each of us, be it small or large. May it be blessed for the King, for your work, that your kingdom will be forthcoming, that it might do good to those who struggle with daily needs, that you would continue to bless them and to bless each of us who give that offering, that we might do so with a willing heart. And now we pray these blessings in the name of your loving Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
I too wish to greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this beautiful Sabbath day that He's prepared for us. It's very tempting, and I must say it would be quite easy for me to stand here today and speak to you of the gross darkness that seems to be spreading rapidly throughout the world around us. But I hope that it would come as absolutely no surprise to anybody within the sound of my voice that I would prefer to speak to you this day about love. John the Beloved, in the first book of John, in the fourth chapter, says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." A little further down he says, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, if John was right, and I am absolutely certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is right, and God is love, then if I speak to you of love, I'll only be speaking to you of God. And it is God, after all, whom we are here today to worship. Our worship on this special day takes a special form in that it is a sacrament and an ordinance designed and instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we, each of us, will participate in this ordinance by partaking of the emblems which represent the broken body and spilled blood of that same Jesus. We must ask ourselves, why do we do this? The answer to that question is in the prayers that will be offered over the bread and wine. You can find those prayers in section 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants. You can also find them in most of the hymnals that you have present in front of you. The answer is in those prayers. We partake of the emblems because they cause us to remember Jesus. They cause us to think about Him. Much as my words this morning should be designed to cause you to think about Jesus. And this we do as a witness to God the Father, that we are willing to take upon us the name of God the Son, Jesus Christ. To call ourselves Christians, even in the most life-threatening circumstances. And witness to God that we will always remember Jesus and keep His commandments for one purpose, so that we can always have His Spirit to be with us. That is what we are here to do today. Not to just mindlessly extend our hand and consume some bread and some grape juice, but to witness to God as a testimony to Him. That's what witnesses do. They testify. To testify under oath that we will do these things. Remember Jesus. Take upon us His name. And obey His commandments. And if our hearts are right, and we do these things with sincerity and strictness of purpose, we will always have His Spirit to be with us. And if He is love, then His Spirit is love. And we will always have the Spirit of love to be with us. And that Spirit will manifest itself to us, through us, in our lives daily. How does it do that? For each of us, I'm sure it is quite different. Yet, I'm sure it is quite the same. I will speak to you this day about Vacation Church School. I bore this testimony in its condensed form the Sunday after Vacation Church School. Yet the experience was so fresh that I could barely form the words to bear my testimony. As I speak to you of Vacation Church School, within my speaking, you will find my testimony. As most of you know, for the past several years, I've been fortunate and honored to have the privilege of being the pastor for Vacation Church School. I'm not sure I can get through this. I'll try. I resigned that position this year. Only because I felt like it was important that other men had the opportunity to share that ministry. And when I finish speaking to you today, by the end of this service, it is my prayer that every priesthood man in this congregation would so force themselves on Stacy Pyatt to volunteer to be the pastor of Vacation Church School next year. There's nothing more fulfilling than this experience. And if you have to take a week's vacation, it would not be a wasted week of vacation, I promise you. And Stacy, if you haven't already found somebody, and if these men don't answer the call, I will make myself available to do this again next year. This particular vacation church school started out the day before here at church. I spoke with Miss Courtney, and she advised me that each morning we would start our church school with prayers on behalf of her sister Beth. As the pastor, it fell upon me to conduct those prayer services. They're very small. Very few people came and attended. There were 10 of us, maybe 12 of us at a time. And we sat here in these pews. And we got down on our knees. And we prayed. And oh, did we pray. And we poured our hearts out on behalf of Sister Beth. And little did we know at the time that even as our words passed over our lips, even as we poured out our hearts, the Spirit of God was working inside the body of our sister Beth, performing the miracle which we sought. What an awesome God. By Thursday, Vacation Church School had progressed and pioneering was our theme, pioneering for Christ. And the day Thursday came to an end, and I stayed after and helped Sister Eleanor carry some things out to her van that she wasn't going to be needing the next day so that we could get a head start. And it took us a half hour, probably beyond the time that the church school had ended. And we finished that chore, and I walked out the back through the fellowship hall and out the side door. And I had something that I needed to ask Miss Courtney about, and she was standing outside talking to one of the young mothers who had, I think, a couple of children in the congregation. I can't remember her name. And I hesitated to say anything because I felt like I was interrupting. And the young mother started to walk away and go to her car. And I spoke something to Courtney. I can't even remember what it was. But as I did this, this young mother walked back toward us. And she said something to the effect that, I hope you know how obvious it is how much you love these children. And I thanked her for that, for being so kind to say that. And normally, in that type of situation, being the carnal and sensual and devilish person that I am, I would normally have been all puffed up with pride, thinking to myself, oh, aren't I great? Aren't I wonderful? But in this particular instance, that was not the case. I didn't take it as a personal compliment to myself. I even thought at that very time how wonderful God is, that He can take somebody even like myself and use me as a vessel for His love. And I spent the rest of that day, a good portion of the rest of that day, communing with God talking to him, asking him about the mysteries of the kingdom and the mysteries of heaven. And occasionally he would enlighten my mind. And then I got busy with the grandkids. And I couldn't have asked for more enlightenment than that. And then Friday morning came. And I got here. And oh, what a wonderful day it was. The weather was beautiful, and you should have seen all that we had here. Some of you, probably most of you actually, participated and saw what was going on. We had a pioneer day, and we had blacksmiths, and we had cow milking and butter making and apple pressing, and we had goats, and we had chickens, and we had pets, and we had games, old-fashioned games that the kids could play, and laundry, and it was absolutely amazing. It was amazing at how many people were willing to sacrifice their time to do this work. And it was a bit sad that it all had to come to an end. We all gathered back in here into the sanctuary. And as I have been called on each day to offer the closing prayer for each day, it fell upon me, obviously, to offer the closing prayer for our vacation church school. Before I did that, I was moved to tell all of the children how much they were loved. And I told them that I knew for certain that God loved them, and I knew for certain that Jesus loved them, and I knew for certain that their parents loved them, and that their teachers loved them. But most of all, I wanted each and every one of them to know that I loved them. And then I offered the closing prayer. And then it happened. As I finished the prayer, as was the case every day, Miss Brenda started the children singing the beautiful hymn that we closed every day with. And as I opened my eyes, I saw movement. I was standing right over here, and none of this was here. And I saw movement down that aisle, and suddenly there was a young man, 11, 12, 13, I don't know exactly how old he was. But there he was, and he was standing right next to me. I found out later that his name was Lincoln. I also found out later that he was the great-grandson five times removed from Joseph Smith. That's great, 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 great grandson. And he wrapped his arms around me. And he placed his head next to my stomach. And he gave me the most wonderful hug. And I bent down and I kissed him on top of the head. And I whispered, "I love you." And then I heard a voice. I won't say that I know that Lincoln said it, because I don't know that. I don't know where the voice came from for sure. Probably was Lincoln. But I heard the words, "I know, and I love you too." Well, you can imagine at that point in time, how emotional that was. And yes, I'm probably could be accused of emotionalism, because love is an emotion. But at that time, I just lost complete awareness of myself. I didn't know whether the room was hot or cold. I couldn't even think about myself. There was no self involved any longer. I was so flooded with the spirit of love that I was nearly overcome. I looked down. Lincoln had gone back to his seat by his grandmother. And I looked down and I saw Brenda sitting here on the floor, surrounded by these beautiful little children. And they were singing this beautiful hymn. And it was the most wonderful experience I've ever experienced. And if you've never experienced this complete abandonment of self, I pray that someday you'll get to experience that. I pray that, and I'm kind of suspicious that it might be the case, I pray that when I pass from this mortal condition and pass into eternity, that's the feeling that I get. That complete and total knowledge of love, and God is love. And when you feel that kind of love, you know that you're feeling God. And I pray that each and every one of you get to feel that at some point in time. When I offered this testimony at the prayer service that followed Vacation Church School, Brother Jim Gregg called that a kingdom moment. And brothers and sisters, if that's a kingdom moment, O Lord, thy kingdom come. Oh, hurry, please. There's no greater feeling. I pray that you'll all get to experience that at some time in your life under some condition. I pray that the kingdom will come soon. And I pray that you all will, for the rest of your lives, know and understand the spirit of love that we're searching for today. May God bless you is my prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
Can you kneel with me facing the altar as much as possible as our brother Paul Finsall offers the blessing upon the bread.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
disciples all receive their portion of bread of desire. Would you again kneel with me while Brother Bill Ormsby offers the blessing upon the wine?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
those who desire to receive their portion of wine.
It's a beautiful thing when the Lord in His mercy allows us to have a glimpse of His kingdom and perhaps what it'll be like when we are there one day. The joy and the gladness that we will have, the love that we will have for one another, probably beyond anything that we can really understand or even compare, but He gives us these glimpses of His kingdom, of what it should be like. Some people have their favorite seasons, you know. Some people like fall. Some people spring. Some people just like the fact that the weather changes. I was sitting here thinking through this service how just a month ago, the kids were going to pool parties. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It's kind of cool for a pool party, but we wouldn't even think of having it now. And as fall goes by, we see the leaves fall off the trees, and then winter comes, and the grass turns brown, and the days are shorter. And yet, you know, to someone who perhaps isn't accustomed to that, maybe they live in a part of the world where winter really doesn't change that much. You might even could say you could be somewhat a little bit in despair, seeing how everything goes from green to brown and to gray. And yet for those of us who live here, we know that spring will come, won't it? Spring will come. The trees will once again have green leaves. The flowers will bloom. It's just a wonderful time when we see the spring come. But yet there is the winter, is there not? And you know, brothers and sisters, we of course, can look upon this and perhaps even in this time that we live in, that this may be the winter. Things are lying dormant. Things lose perhaps their beauty, if you will, that we are so accustomed to seeing in the spring and in the summer. And yet we know that we must wait. And if we wait through the winter, that the spring will come. And that the beauty and the warmth and the color and all of these things that we look forward to will come. And the same is true in our lives, saints. The same is true even perhaps in this time that is perhaps the winter, and yet the spring may be just around the corner. I thought of this scripture from the book of Isaiah in chapter 51. It says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength. O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy and holiness shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I look forward to that day, brothers and sisters, that day of spring, when our sorrow and mourning will flee away, when they will turn to gladness, when our gladness will turn to joy, when we shall experience and understand those truths of the eternity, those ways in which we should live one with another, those times that we can spend and have His presence with us, and not only His presence, but His Son, that He will be our light and our lead. I look forward to that day, saints, the day of spring. The winter may come and may have its darkness and its coldness, but yet the spring will come, saints, and we shall see indeed the beauty of Zion.
Heavenly Father, it has been good to be here this morning with our family, for truly we are brothers and sisters in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful indeed to Thee, our Heavenly Father, that we have heard the still small voice that Thou hast sent among Thy people, and that Thou hast sent to those who have truly desired to come unto Thee and give of their all to Thee, and have great resolve that they will serve Thee to the end. Forgive us of our sins, dear Lord, at this moment in our life. May we truly go on to perfection. Thou hast called us to this point, and we pray that Thou would be with us as we go from here. Bless each home represented here, and we ask these special blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen.